Welcome to the Building a Family podcast series. Today's episode is sponsored by Zomi hands-free and double electric breast pumps. Hassle-free prescription process and fully covered by insurance through Best Home Medical. Enjoy the flexibility of single and double expression with Zomi pumps, all qualifying for 100% insurance coverage. For inquiries about obtaining a free breast pump through insurance, contact Best Home Medical at 718-831-7634. Visit zomi.com for more information. If you would like to dedicate an episode in honor of a loved one, please reach out to podcast@mikvah.org. This episode is in continuation of the series where we learn about building a family from many angles, including halacha, sichais, and maimarim. We encourage you to follow the rabbinic guidance and listen to all of the previous episodes first as context for this one. In this episode, we hear an interview with Dayan Roskin as he discusses in depth the halachic implications of the mitzvah of having children. Next episode, we will continue this conversation with Rabbi Kasimov.
Hi everyone, welcome to another podcast from mikvah.org. This series is a discussion on Pruer Vu. We will be going over several weeks with several people. We will begin with Dayan Roskin. Thank you for giving us of your time today. Dayan Roskin is a noted Rav, Paisek and Shliach in London, England. And we are going to hear some of the background halachically on Pruer Vu, both when we, you know, the mitzvah of having children and when it's a mitzvah to not have children at the moment. So if Dayan Roskin, if you can begin with just the overall introduction that we should know when we are thinking about the mitzvah of Pruer Vu, halachically.
Thank you for the introduction. Obviously, we all know that mitzvah Pruer Vu is a very important mitzvah. It's the first mitzvah mentioned in the Torah. What we have on the screen, I'm going to share with you, is for the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is a Sefer of mitzvahs, which goes according to the order of the Torah. So in Bereishis, he says we have one single mitzvah in Parshas Bereishis, where Hashem says, gives a bracha to Adam and Chavo, and he says, Pru or Vu, you should be fruitful and multiply. Mishorshe mitzvahs, the Chinuch has a style of explaining the root, the background, the reason, the motivation for each mitzvah. Sheyiyah ha'olam meyushov, that the world should be populated, that Hashem wants this world to be populated, and he quotes a pasuk which is discussed at length in Gemara. The world was not created to remain desolate. It was created to be populated. This is a great mitzvah, that through this mitzvah, where all other mitzvahs are only possible when there are people to do the mitzvahs, because the Eibishter wanted the mitzvahs to be done by people, not just by malachim, or not by malachim. This mitzvah applies to everyone. It applies everywhere, not just in time of Beis Hamikdash. And a person should be, a man is obliged to engage in this from the time is when time appropriate to get married and to try to have children. So then we have the famous idea that this mitzvah is a mitzvah on the male. It's not a mitzvah on the female. To the mitzvah of period review is a mitzvah on the male. That's our first source. We'll go then on to the Shulchan Aruch. Now we have four sections of Shulchan Aruch. The third section is Evan Ezer, talks about marital issues, and also starts off with the mitzvah for a man to get married to be able to have children. And if he doesn't, then it's as if he's shedding blood, he's causing the Shekhinah to depart from Yidden, etc. So then we have the next point, which I've skipped a couple of Seifim in the Shulchan Aruch. When a man has already a son and a daughter, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of period of Yerivya. The next point is said here that even if though a man has already had the mitzvah, the basic mitzvah of period of Yerivya, he should not remain without a wife. Rather, he should marry a woman who can have children and to have more children. And so let's just discuss this, that this discussion is That is like the bare minimum. If a person is asking, oh, how much do I have to go out of my way? If a couple already are married and they had already two children, and let's say they have, they're not managing to have children. Let's get the other way around. Let's say there'd been a couple who never had children. Then there's a whole discussion in Gemara whether they should remain married or they should try to go in separate ways and they should have children. And what we're saying is, once you've got two children, a boy and a girl, so you've done your basic mitzvah. That doesn't take away from that there's a mitzvah to have more children. And that's what we're saying over here. Not only that, that even if, let's say, for whatever reason, he has children, as Zochan came, and he's not married. So now the Shulchan Aruch is saying, you've done your mitzvah, but still you should get married to a bas bonim to be able to have more children. So it's clear that there is that, whereas there is a minimum, but then that there's still a mitzvah to have more children, and that's going back to that pasuk which we had before. Of the Soyu Barod Loshevas Yitzara, there's a mitzvah to bring more children to this world.
Okay, so in the first source you wrote there that the mitzvah is specifically for the male. It's the male's mitzvah to have children. So is this something the Dayan will be getting into later, or how does it come into play for a woman? Do women have any obligation? Is their obligation just to be assisting their husbands in this mitzvah? Is that what it is halachically?
All right, so I mean, I'm just going to go off on a tangent to a case where a sicha where the Rebbe was speaking about the mitzvah of chinuch. Now you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Gimel, and it says that the mitzvah of chinuch is upon the father, and you wonder who actually devotes all the energy to chinuch. And I might be a little bit flippant in my paraphrasing, but basically, Rebbe's explanation is the following. There's a convention of Chachamim, and they sit down and come out with a new psak that a man has to devote his energy to chinuch of his children. If they would come and say this to women, it'd be an absolute laughing stock. Women, this is their whole chayis is in the inyan of bringing children and bringing up children. And therefore, to come and say the Chachamim made a decision that women have to be mechanech their children. Thank you very much. We know all about it. That's what we live for. It's that the man who's not so much involved, it's for him they have to tell him. And possibly the whole inyan of having children is so important to a woman. So, and obviously it's a man can't have children without a woman. So therefore the woman definitely has a part of the mitzvah. Question is, if for whatever reason, how much does she have to, if she's in a position where she cannot have children easily, etc., can she say, well, how far does she have to go to be able to have children? That's where the question is. So a man would have to go that much further. A woman would be able to say, okay, if that's the case, I'll manage without. But definitely she has the mitzvah of bringing children and being mechanech children. There's no question about that. It's a mitzvah.
Halachically, we have this concept of the Shevas Yitzara, and then we went into the Shulchan Aruch where we say the bare minimum is a boy or a girl, and then there's the idea, the inyan, that you should then also continue to have as many children as you are able to.
Right. Okay. And some poskim pick up that point that Lo Shevas Yitzara is not written just for men. The word Lo Shevas Yitzara is describing the purpose of creation, and that women are part of creation just like men are, and therefore the Lo Shevas Yitzara would be a mitzvah for women also. The difference is that Lo Shevas Yitzara is a posuk in whatever it was. No, it's not. It's in Koheles. So technically, it's not the same. So when there'd be a difficulty or a predicament, then there would be a difference between a man and a woman. But whether to have children is a mitzvah, definitely a woman has a mitzvah to bring children in the world.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to the next slide.
This is another, this is going to that halacha about a man who already has children and the question of remarrying. He should try to marry a woman who is able to have children. So in other words, to have another, to keep on having a family or having another family. And here he has this posuk. In the morning, you should plant your seed. When you're young, you try to have a family. Even as it gets closer to the evening or later on in life, you should also not leave go, because you don't know which one's going to be the good one, the best one, or if you don't mind, I'm just going to tell your listeners the following. A personal note. I'm the youngest of 8 children. My mother, Allah Shalom, lost her parents in the siege of Leningrad during the Second World War. So she had no family support. As I said, I'm the youngest of 8. My oldest sibling is less than 8 years older than me. And I hope I'm giving her nachas. So, you know, you have this question of Eze Yichshar. You don't know. And each child comes along with their unique qualities. And therefore, there's a mitzvah to bring more children to the world. Each one is going to bring into the world another aspect of Lashem Shetzara. And that's,
we're talking about that, you know, your original command is having one boy and one girl. And if someone's having difficulties, that would be a reason why someone might stop there. But when we're talking about having more children, it's that you brought that quote, that pasuk, to show I just want to make sure I understand that why that we have more is we don't know what the bracha said each child is going to be bringing into the world, and each person is going to be bringing their unique abilities to this world. So to have as many as we can.
Yes, and that's pasuk in Koheles, which quoted Koheles Yud Aleph. Yes. Now I've got on the screen now two quotes. We've got from the Sefer Shulchan Menachem, a couple of things from the Rebbe. If we can go through those.
Okay.
So this is from Igros
Kodesh. I'm just going to point out for a moment that if someone's listening to this as an audio form, you have two choices. One is to hop on over to mikvah.org/media to view this in video to see the Dayan going through these sources in real time. Or in the show notes, there will be a link to access this as a PDF. Okay, so now we are on the page 4. Go ahead.
5, actually. Yes.
5. Okay.
Right. So here the Rebbe writes, Mechoivas Doireinu Zay, it's a duty of our generation. Each one of us is an Ud Mutzol Me'ech, like a torch, say, or like a something which is saved from a fire, from the Hashmodis Le'alechem Rechmon Litzlam. We're talking about, you know, the post-war situation. And therefore, not only kind of to commemorate, but to push it, to bring more Yidden to the world, that we've lost so many Yidden in the Holocaust, and therefore we should feel a motivation to bring more Yidden into the world. We have here the next point, which the Rebbe says in this letter. People tend to nowadays looking to make life easier for them. And here was a talk about a woman who had a problem of high blood pressure, and she was asking her heter to take a break because of her blood pressure. And the Rebbe says that not everyone knows that you have blood pressure, but they will see what's God's going on, and therefore the Rebbe is kind of encouraging her to continue having children. Of course, I don't know the details of how serious her medical condition was, and that's something which you have to be very careful about. The second quote which we have here is from a manuscript of the Rebbe. This woman is writing that she's avoiding getting pregnant because her financial situation is not satisfactory. And therefore, she's waiting until things sort out. So the Rebbe says, I'm very surprised at this, because children are Hashem's very precious and great gift to us. And even a gift which you are hoping to get from a human being, You won't say to your benefactor, oh, now for the moment I don't need your gift. When I'm ready for it, I'll tell you. When I change my mind, I'll tell you. It's a gift from Hashem, and therefore we shouldn't be delaying that. I think we can also go to this famous quote of the Rebbe, which is in the back of Lekut HaSichos Chelek Chof, and this is the answer. These are answers to Rabbi Bernhardt, who was a Rav in South Africa. And here, the first piece reads, Al Dvar spacing. So, about the idea, there seems to be having some psychological advice that it's a good idea to have spacing between one child and the next. So the Rebbe says a similar point as in the previous quote, that you can, when it's up to you, what you can choose is to not have children physically. I'm not talking about allowed. You have the option to stop having children, but to have children and to have healthy children, etc., that's actually up to Hashem. And it's possible that if not now, who says it's going to happen later? And therefore, and plus, the younger you are, the better it is as far as having children. So the Rebbe is saying, this whole idea, oh, I need to have more space, etc. Well, actually, who says that you're going to be able to regain your ability at a later stage? Then it talks about needs rest. The words needs rest are written in English in the Lekut HaSichos. Again, the Rebbe says here, it's difficult to believe that a woman's already had the taste and gives the geschmack, a nachas, of having a child and growing, the child growing before her eyes, and her input and the progress of the child, and with her mysterious nefesh, indeed, yes. And so then she should want to deprive herself from this tremendous fulfillment because of the need for spacing, etc. And the Rebbe suggests that there's a subconscious reason for not having more children, possibly because of the pain of pregnancy, the pain of giving birth, the effort and the social difficulties because of this, you won't be able to participate in social events, etc. Then he adds the yesod of the beginning of Shulchan Aruch about social pressure. What will you're worried about people will say, that will scoff, etc. And when the Rebbe finishes off this statement by saying that when you will realize that actually it's probably more the peer pressure which is the obstacle, then you will be happy to leave over to Hashem the decision about when is it a good time to have further children. And that's that point over there in the Lekut HaSichos. So then I think we can go to the question about sometimes there are difficulties and
So halachically, we opened up the discussion talking about halachically the mitzvah of having children, having at least one or two, the reason that me having a boy and a girl, the reason why we should continue having as many children as we can, and some of the things that come up where someone might automatically say, financially it's difficult or rest wise it's difficult. But what happens halachically if there is any sort of, health issue or mental health issue that makes it more than just something that if I can just, inspire myself a little bit more, I can handle? What happens then halachically?
Right. So I actually recall one time a shliach here, a fellow shliach here in England, had already a large family, and Baruch Hashem, he and his wife were healthy. And he asked me, is there a heter to hold back? It was during the Kinnas HaShluchim, and Rabbi Farkash, because Seal Farkash was on the bus, the same bus as me. We were going to the banquet, whatever it was. And for those who don't know, because Seal Farkash is the author of two Sfarim called Tara Kalocha, a world-renowned expert about this, the areas of fertility. And himself has a large family. And generally, Rabbi Forkash is a generous type of person and an easygoing type of person. And he was actually quite adamant that people are healthy. There's no reason not to have more children. And what you have no reason to use methods not to have more children. Yeah. So now we have here on the screen, we have from a sefer called Nishmas Avraham. This is a sefer as a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, bringing in medical, wherever there's medical issues related to the Shulchan Aruch. So he's bringing from earlier Poskim. So now he writes about that under normal circumstances, one wouldn't have any heter to use any methods to not have more children, family planning, etc. He says this, the ain kol heter, to use anything for family planning, etc., for just if everyone's healthy. Of course, when there's a case of pikuach nefesh or concern of and then that would be okay. And in that case, one should be taking guidance from a person who's qualified to advise in this. And certainly, if we're talking about a physical or a mental issue, and there's causing suffering or concern for the welfare of the mother, so then yes, ask a shayla. Okay. I have been advised by Rabbonim that a shayla should be in person. It's a very sensitive area, and it shouldn't be on a long distance call, etc. You know, it should be, if possible, it should be a face to face sitting down. And I shared with you this letter, this answer of the Rebbe to Rabbi Bernhardt. Often it is an issue of just managing, and sometimes it means getting in a bit more home help, and things can manage. So it's I can understand the feeling of being overwhelmed, but with a little bit of reassurance and encouragement, one could go further and be able to continue. So all right. So now we're looking at where there are indeed welfare concerns, safety concerns.
Right. Yeah. So in general, if there's maybe a little bit more household help, or maybe there could just be a little bit more encouragement, then we should not. But when there is more significant health concerns or more significant mental health concerns, like you said, wellness concerns. So yes, if dying can go into halakhically, obviously, we're going to put a disclaimer here, as with all podcasts, this is informational. Of course, when someone is seeking a psak halakha, of course, they need to go ask their individual rav, who knows their individual circumstances, that can weigh where on the spectrum of health and wellness are we actually at, not just our own feelings on the matter, telling that to the rav, so the rav can then give an objective halakhic viewpoint of psak halakha. So I wanted to say that, as just in case, this is not taken in any way by our audience, this is informational.
Yes. And let me just throw in a comment. I think we're seeing, whereas post-war, there seems to have been much more of everyone feeling that they really want to rebuild the Yiddish life. There seems to be 60 years later, 70 years later, a more relaxed feeling about this, and many more people are asking for heterim. And when there is a real concern, then we're going to deal with it. When we can give them reassurance and encouragement, that would be the better approach. Okay, but we're talking about when there are real concerns for her welfare, her welfare, and whether, as I said, mental or physical. So then the doctor, they've taken medical advice. And the medical advice has been that they should restrain. And sometimes, let's say after a cesarean section, they will often say that you mustn't become pregnant for X amount of time. And so then, again, that's a legitimate situation where you ask advice for a rov, what can we do to adhere to the doctor's instructions not to fall pregnant within the next amount of time? What should we do? Sometimes people are very fertile, and some women will, by breastfeeding, that itself helps them not become pregnant again. Many women, it makes no difference. And so that's where we have the question, what can they do? And
I would pipe in to say that anecdotally that you know happens, but obviously when someone's in a position of sakana, that wouldn't be something to rely on.
Absolutely. Right. Now, also to factor in to this weighing up, when you've got medical advice, there's different levels of medical advice. Sometimes it's absolutely life-threatening, and sometimes it's not advisable, and that would also be have an influence on how the advice given. So let's go through the main forms of contraception which are available today.
Okay, so before we get into that, I want to just ask Diane, you know, we talked about the woman's health and wellness, but would we also sometimes have halachic basis for delaying having children at the moment for the husband's health and wellness?
Yes, that would be also a consideration.
Okay.
And I've
as
had
a family unit having the children, sometimes it isn't just about the woman's health and wellness, sometimes it might be the man's health and wellness.
That is true. Usually, though, I mean, sometimes he'll say, listen, it's all very well, she's having children, but then I have to get up at night, etc., etc. And he's not managing with her having children and him picking up the brunt of the extra burden. So in those cases, the idea of bringing in extra help is so much more, of a solution. For the woman, the extra help can or cannot be. But usually it's the man's difficulties. It's usually extra help would solve the problem. Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to go into some of the methods of birth control, but very briefly, because we're going to be going into this in more depth. Both halachically and from the medical perspective in future episodes. So everyone who's listening to this now, I encourage you to definitely listen to the full series here for all the context.
Thank you. So we have a barrier method, and that's using a cap or a diaphragm. We have a IUD, which is a contraption, which is inserted by a medical professional all the way into the womb. Then we have the pill, various types of pills, which they kind of manipulate the woman's production of ovulating, etc. And then we have, which is, I think, much less, you don't hear about it, about tying the fallopian tubes. That's people don't really ask about that nowadays, as far as from my experience. Then maybe other. Then it talks about also about using what you put on your list of questions, FAM, which means just measuring your temperature and then knowing when you are highly likely to become pregnant or etc. Okay, now. Let me just throw in another important issue here, and that is that there is an issue for a man to produce sperm in a wasteful way. And that's the story with Aaron and Oinon, that when they were ready to emit sperm, they didn't put it into the woman, but rather wasted it. And that's a very severe inyan. So there's a lot of discussion in Poskim. When a barrier is placed, whether that is going to be a violation because the sperm is not going anywhere. This is important to understand that there are different schools of thought amongst Rabbonim and Poskim how much this issue figures. So, for example, if you go to Ungarische Poskim, by them the this is a very big concern, and as a result, they'll be much more inclined to advise to use the pill, because the pill has gotten there's no obstruction. The sperm goes exactly the way it was any other time, and it's just that the body or this the whatever the hormones have been sorted that it's not going to work. That's one side. My father-in-law, Lev Shalom, Rabbi Sudak, Rabbi Nachman Sudak, he told over several times, but he was in Yechidus with the Rebbe. It came up in conversation about someone who needed to use some kind of contraception. And the Rebbe said to my Shver that about the pill, he says it's Sivert. So I'm going to say it first in Yiddish, and then we're going to translate it into English. Sever damo bosse kipstori, ver weiss was kan sein von dem über 20, I feel like über 20 jorarum. Something, I might be not saying mamash verbatim, but it becomes part of your system, part of your body, and it, who knows what the results of this will be even, possibly even 20 years later. So the Rebbe was, this is, I'm talking here 50 years ago, yeah? About that. And the Rebbe was concerned about the side effects of using pills. And many people have told me, people who are like color teachers, etc., for many years, about the damaging side effects of the pill. So what I'm telling you is that you go to the Hungarish Rabbonim will go so much more towards the pill in because of the concern of Zera Levatala, whereas in the other school, including Chabad, as far as I know, as far as I was taught in Kabul, is that we would allow the use of barrier methods. Now, it has to be to make it clear here, there's a different type of barrier method called a condom. That's not acceptable, lahalacha. That's where a sheath would be worn by the male. That's generally taken, that's not acceptable, halacha. But for the woman to have a cap in to protect that the sperm shouldn't come into her womb, that is accepted when it's necessary. So that's one. The downside of that is that it means every time before intimacy having to put it in place. The IUD, on the other hand, is put in by the doctor, and it stays there until such time you decide to take it out. So it that got an advantage. They're both barrier methods, really, although they may be accompanied with some kind of spermicide, but they're both barrier methods. The downside of the IUD is that it presses on the, it's, as I mentioned, it's like a spring, and it seems to cause prolonged bleeding. So when a woman does have a period, it's going to be longer for her to clear. So that's the downside of the, so they both of them are barrier methods. Both of them, when necessary, would be acceptable, but each one's got an advantage and a disadvantage. The pill has got neither of these disadvantages, but as I said, it's got its intrusive. And so generally, when people ask me about using the pill, I tell them that, and some people it bothers them and some of them it doesn't. And again, also, the pill, as far as I know, often causes mood swings, which again, for some people is no big deal. Some people it is a big deal. So very often the pill is not an option.
So right now we've talked about barrier methods versus the hormonal pills. Is there any other tips that we want to talk about halachically?
Then there's a simple method, and that is abstinence. And that's something which, again, some rabbonim will say, okay, abstinence. And the Rebbe did not agree with that. Because
so when we're talking about, especially when you said fam before, if someone's going to use abstinence as a method there, so now we're going to go, Diane Roth, and I understand you're going to go into why we wouldn't consider that a great.
Right. In other words, what will happen if you go to mikveh a week later? Then, let's say, I'm just using a figure of a week. Now, yes, that might work, but on the other hand, life goes on. We're exposed, and the Yetzirah Brent, and it has its, in especially in other areas of halacha, we can afford to be machmir. In Taras HaMishpacha, we try to be as accommodating as possible because we know that every chumrah has got actually a downside to it, and therefore the idea of delaying has got is so for most people we would not ask I recommend delaying because it has its other problems which will come out as a result, which we don't want to discuss here. Right. So are there any other things that you wanted to discuss, or
I think that wraps up our conversation for today. Thank you, Diane Rustin, for your time. And as we continue to expand this further, we will maybe cycle back if we have additional questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hatzlocha Rabo and lots of simchas in Klal Yisrael.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Remember, to truly grasp the essence of this topic, we encourage you to follow the entire series. If you are looking for a written resource as a supplement to this topic, you can click the link in the show notes for the book titled Shall We Have Another? Stay tuned for the next episode where we will hear from Rabbi Kasimov on the topic of building a family.